Men sleeping with men. Women sleeping with women. Men marrying men. Women marrying women. Women changing their bodies to men. Men changing their bodies to female. Cross-dressing. Homosexuality. Is it right or is it wrong? We get deluged today every time we turn the TV on or the radio or the computer, any kind of network, any kind of socializing anywhere. We're deluged with homosexuality. They come at us through commercials, through the television shows, radio, movies. Everywhere we see homosexuality. And we think it's gotten worse. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But we have so much more media attention today to it than they had back in the first century or back when God created this earth. But we're going to take a look at passages clear back into Genesis tonight that shows where homosexuality is nothing new under the sun, just as Solomon said. I want to start this tonight by saying that everyone has a choice. I understand that. I think most of you understand that. We are created with the ability to make choices, to make decisions about whatever we want. That's the way God made us. Some of those decisions are good. And as we walk through life, we most of us realize some of them are not so good. I don't want to get into any kind of a debate about what causes homosexuality or some of the other things I want to mention here. But I will say this. Whether you were born with homosexual tendencies or not, doesn't matter. You don't have to indulge. Whether you were born with alcoholic tendencies or not, doesn't matter. You don't have to indulge. Whether you were born with drug addiction tendencies or not, it doesn't matter. You don't have to indulge. What matters is, what choice do you make and what decisions do you make? According to the laws of the land, and it seems like every day we open up the paper or turn on TV, we've got more laws. I told Peg this afternoon that we were talking about something. It just seems like everyone has an individual right. And when we step on those rights, then somebody else steps in and says, let's sue them. Let's do something about it. But according to the laws of the land, homosexuality is okay. So if we look at homosexuality being right or wrong, in man's eyes, it's okay. And they're making more laws every day to make it more okay. And subtly, they come at us through media to where eventually we may think it's okay, and that's where we have to draw a line. According to the laws of the land, drinking alcohol is okay. And it is. And it's okay, I think, as far as God's concerned, as long as we don't overindulge. But I will say this, being an alcoholic and having a drinking problem at one time, if you never drink, you'll never have a problem. So why indulge to start with? According to the laws of the land, many of our drugs are okay. We go to the drugstore, most of us, you know, maybe several times a month or once a month, whatever it might be, those drugs are okay. Some are lawful. Just because man says it's okay doesn't necessarily make it right. We have a lot of drugs out there that aren't okay. And not even okay by man's law. Laws of the land have made it okay to have homosexual marriages. It's been ruled on. There's laws about it. You can't infringe on those rights. Even to a small business that doesn't want to make a wedding cake for a gay marriage or a homosexual marriage. He has no right to do that anymore. There's a choice that anyone who wants to make it can make. Now, think about it this way. If you claim to be a Christian and a homosexual, it doesn't work that way. If you claim to be a Christian and an alcoholic, it doesn't work that way. If you claim to be a Christian and a drug addict, It doesn't work that way. You cannot serve two masters. Most of us are aware of that. Those two masters are God and Satan. It doesn't work that way. You can't serve two masters. You can't be doing something in God's will over here and something that Satan wants you done over here. It doesn't work that way. You cannot lead a life of sin and a life of righteousness. The world we live in, unfortunately, has created quite a controversy concerning homosexuality and whether it is okay or not. We've seen homosexuality enter into churches that call themselves Church of Christ. It's torn churches apart. We see more rulings every day where individual religious sectors have said, finally, okay to homosexuality. And why is that? It's because of man's laws and men coming in and putting so much pressure on these people that they're bowing down to what man has to say instead of standing their ground on what God has to say. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm thankful for this congregation. I'm thankful for the Church of Christ and what we stand for, and we won't put up with it. Amen. We have to be careful. And we've seen, you know, and it doesn't just end there. It spreads on out and rights within the church. A couple months ago, I brought a sermon on just an example of a couple churches in Dallas where they're having all kinds of problems with women, women elders, women leadership, women serving in worship, all these things. But you start one thing and it just spreads out to another. Tonight, we're just talking about one issue, and that's homosexuality. It's around. It's here. And I understand, you know, there's some of us that have friends that are homosexual. I understand that. I understand that we work with people that are homosexual. I understand that some of us may even have family that is homosexual. I understand all that. And we're going to look at a passage that deals with that and how we're to deal with it. But we also have to understand that these people need to be taught. So we can't completely shun them, and yet we have to draw a line and not let it be to a point where if we are associating with them, that we're saying that it's okay. Because it's not, according to God's law. According to man's law, anything goes. So what I want to do is look at some verses and see what God actually has to say about this. And I want to start in Genesis 19. This is a passage probably most of us are familiar with, if not all of us. It talks about Lot and talks about Sodom and what's going on there. And I've listed this kind of as the beginning of where the Bible talks about sodomy and homosexuality. Genesis 19, 4 through 11. Talking about the men of the city here. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, included everybody, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. That's Lot's house. And there called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? They want to know who's there. Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. That's homosexually. So Lot went out to him through the doorway and shut the door behind him. Now you got to put yourself in Lot's position here. Here's this whole house surrounded. They're wanting the guys inside the house to come out so they can know him carnally, so they can be sexual with him. So Lot goes out by himself. He's going to try to put a stop to this. So he goes out, he shuts the door behind him, trying to protect those in the house, and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. He's begging them, don't do this. And then he even comes this far. He says, see now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you that you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. He's even offering his daughters to keep them from the sin that they're about, that they're wanting to do. Those of us that have daughters, that's quite a step to take. He's saying, look, my daughters, they've never even known men. You take them and you can do whatever you want to. And then in verse 9, and they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. They're coming after Lot. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door. These people were, I don't know, I don't have a word for it, belligerent. They wanted what they wanted. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. So now the men inside the home pulled Lot back in and shut the door. We had a little turn of events here, haven't we? Now what happens? And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness. Boom. Both small and great. That's both the kids and the older ones. So that they may become weary trying to find the door. What happened? God stepped in. Put an end to that thing that was going on that night. First of all, Lot tried. He walked out the door, shut the door. They even offered his daughters. And they got so mad at Lot, they wanted him more than they wanted the men inside. Pushed on him, tried to break the door down. The men inside opened the door up, bring Lot back in, protected Lot. Then they were struck blind. Then we know the rest of the story where Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. God wasn't putting up with it anymore. In today's life, when we talk about death, it's a spiritual death. Leviticus 18 and 22. Leviticus 18:22 reads this way. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. That's a pretty heavy word, people. It's not a nice thing to do. Very strict instruction right there. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Leviticus 20 and 13. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. This is what God thinks of homosexuality. Now, that's pretty contrary to what we hear day in and day out from the world side, isn't it? Completely opposite. Because on the world side, we've even gotten to the point where we call these people gay and we call them lesbians and you know, they're coming out of the closet. And, you know, if everything was cool, why can't they just be human beings? I didn't know whether I was going to say this or not, but we're going to. If it's so good, why do you have to come out of anywhere? Why do you have to admit you're homosexual if it's okay? Just go live your life. Why do you have to ram it down my throat? I don't ram my stuff down your throat. It gets old. I'm sure I'm not the only one that thinks that. But here's God saying it's an abomination. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 14 and 24. And there were also perverted persons in the land. Talking about homosexuals. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Verse after verse after verse after verse we see in the Old Testament, it's an abomination. So, now, people may say, well, that's Old Testament. Okay, let's look, see what is said in the New Testament. Let's go to Romans. Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1, 22 through 24. Paul writes to the church in Rome. Starting in verse 24, he says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Homosexuality. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. I like the way Paul has written it. And serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, back in verse 22, I started in 24. Let's back up to verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, the birds and the four-footed animals and creeping things. And therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Homosexuality, as Paul wrote to the church in Rome. 1 Corinthians. There's verse after verse in the New Testament and the Old Testament. I'm just touching some of the highlights as to what God has to say about things. But if you read through Paul's letters, he's got a lot to say about homosexuality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And that's why I said I would address, you know, because sometimes we get in a position where we've got family that are homosexuals. We get in a position where maybe we have to attend something or attend a function or whatever, or someone at work or a friend, and we want to be there, but we don't want to say that we're putting an okay on what's going on here. How do we do that? It's a difficult position to be in. Paul said, I write to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Then he goes, if you can't just go stop there. Because then he goes into verse 10. He says, yet I certainly do not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world. That's not who he's talking about here. Or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. We have to live in the world. We don't have to be a part of it, but we have to live in it. Okay? So when he writes here, and I've heard churches and I've heard preachers pull verse 9 by itself, where it says, I want you to know in my apostle not to keep companies with sexually immoral people. Period, end of story. You can't stop there, because then you're taking it out of context. If we were not to have association with them, how in the world could we ever teach them? How in the world could we ever be that living example around them to let them know how a Christian lives and what's right and what's wrong as far as Christian life is concerned? We have to be able to do that. So you can't pull verse 9 out and just say, that's it. Paul didn't intend it that way. In 1 Corinthians 6, I use this passage in quite a few of my sermons. I like this passage. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Paul says to the church in Corinth, and bear in mind this first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul was really upset with his church, and he was coming down on them hard. And he writes here, and this is pretty hard language from Paul, but he gets his point across. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, straighten your act up. Don't you know that the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Don't let all this other stuff change your mind. And I'm saying the same thing to you today. Do not be deceived about what's going on and the subtleties of what's going on with homosexuality in our everyday lives. It is not okay. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Do you not know that? And then he goes on in verse 11, he said, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. They were baptized, they accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and straighten their life out. But at this point, at this time, when Paul's writing this letter, there were some that were going back to the life that they were living before they were baptized, before they accepted Christ. And that's what he's saying. Don't you know, going back to this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God? It's not going to happen. And then in verse 18, he tells them this, further instruction. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Not only a sin to God, it's a sin to yourself. What Paul says. And in verse 19, he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Don't you know that? For you were bought at a price. Somebody referenced in living and feeling that nail that goes through Christ's hand when we sin. That's the way we should feel. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So how are you going to take on homosexuality or alcoholism or drug addiction when you're damaging God's body? Don't you know that's a sin? Don't you know that by doing those things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? That's what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. 2 Peter. Second Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. Now we've looked at what the Old Testament has said. We've looked at what Paul had to say, a little bit of what Paul had to say. And now we got another weighing in. Starting in verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, he didn't save them. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. Everything else was destroyed. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Now, here's just in this short passage, a passage that tells about angels that sinned. It talks about the whole world that sinned and was destroyed by a flood. And it's talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and the damage and it being destroyed. That's what God does with sin. He'll destroy it. If you've got sin, you're going to be destroyed. A delivered righteous Lot, he brought Lot out of there, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Lot didn't want anything to do with it, as we saw back when what we read. He tried to slam the door and leave him, make him outside. He even offered his daughters. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then, if God didn't spare all this stuff going on, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for that day of judgment when Christ comes back. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. People, that's what we have going on with the world today. They're not afraid of anything. They just want it their way. If it's good for me, then it's got to be good for everybody, right? Well, it's not. And the unfortunate thing about this is, what's good for us, which is Christianity, is not good for them. Because they want to do it their way. They want to have fun. They want to live, it's my life. I'll live it my way. Well, how many times have we heard that? Well, in the day of judgment, ask them how that worked out for them. So here's kind of a recap of what we've talked about. God's given many scriptures to us. We know what he thinks. We know what he demands and commands. In Leviticus 18:22, God says homosexuality is an abomination. 1 Kings 4:24 says the same thing. Leviticus 20:13, God says homosexuals are an abomination. That's pretty clear. I don't think we have to question that unless we're going to question God. And then, you know, if you're trying to talk to somebody, they'll say, maybe they'll say, okay, you say, we don't live under the Old Testament or the Old Law. No, we don't. But it sure is a preschooler to the New Law. God says in the New Testament, or the New Law, if you will, that homosexuality is not right. In Romans 1, 22, 24, God gave them up because they wanted to serve creature instead of creator. In other words, they wanted to do things their way, not God's way. We just saw in 2 Peter 2, 6 through 10, God says that homosexuals will be punished for the lust of defiling passion and despising authority. Well, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't hit the nail on the head today, I don't know what would. Because the lust and the despising authority is all we hear about. So you see, verse after verse, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it tells us and teaches us that according to God and Christian values, homosexuality is wrong. Amen. There's no other way to put it. But bear in mind, everyone, including homosexuals, have the right to choose their life and make their own decisions. I'm not going to take that away. I can't take it away. God's given it. That's our human nature, if you will. We have that right to make choices. Just be aware that those choices to indulge in sin are completely against what God says. Christians also have the right to lead their lives and make their own choices. And we know that, and we do that. Just be aware, according to God's word, Christians will find their way to eternal life in heaven. God says, obey my commands and I will prepare for you a place. It's that simple. So why do we make it so difficult? It's almost mind-boggling at times. It gets to me the way that society has tried to just subtly bring all this into our hearts and minds and make us think that it's okay. And they just keep working and working and working. And it's called building, you know, tearing down your resistance. And we see it happen. We see it happen with friends. We see it happen with, all of a sudden somebody will say, yeah, I think it's okay. When they've been completely against it the whole time you've known them. That's nothing more than man's way getting in the way we think. So we have to be careful of that. Tonight, if there are those that might have sin in their life, need some prayers, need some help from this congregation or, you know, from anyone. We issue an invitation that you let it be known so that we can help you, so that we might be able to go to God in prayer for you. If there is anyone here that needs to put their Lord on in baptism, turn away from the sin that's in their life, say, I'm done with it, and I want to put my Lord on in baptism, the water's ready. And there's no time like the present. Today is the day. So if anybody has a need, make it known as we stand and sing the invitation song.